Aren't you glad to be in the Lord's house? So glad that you're here. You might look around and see somebody that's missing, and you might check on them this afternoon. We've had some real blessings this week in the church, and I wish you could know about them all, but you can't. But there is work to be done, and there's prayers to be prayed. Amen. So the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Not talking about the yeast that goes in bread. He's not talking about bread itself. He's talking about something else. So, I want you to exercise a little bit of God's grace this morning. He gives you the grace to think, okay? So I want you to think deeply about what he's talking about as we get started. If he's not talking about yeast, if he's not talking about the leaven that goes into bread, what's he talking about? Because he often teaches this way. He teaches in a similitude. He teaches about practical things that are going on. Matter of fact, leaven, I forget, five or six times it's used in the Bible. Only once is it positive. It's always negative otherwise. Okay, so just kind of keep that in mind. So we're in chapter 16. And it is a huge chapter. It's only 24 verses long, but it's a huge chapter because it's got so much in it about the work of Christ and the person of Christ. And let me just ask you this morning, do you know the person of Christ? John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So do you know him? And do you know his works? Do you know what he's done? Do you know he's your substitute? Do you know that he was your sacrifice? Do you know he's going to be your judge? Those would be some things to think about the person and the work of the Christ, would they not be? This chapter is absolutely of the high point of the teaching of Jesus to his disciples. So last week, the religious leaders asked for another sign. If you'll just show us one more sign. But you know, the scripture said then, they didn't ask because they needed another sign. They asked to test him, trying to trick him. I want you to know that today is the day of salvation. May not have tomorrow, amen? Now look, did you see that song? How many days do we have to sing God's praise? Okay? As many as since they first begun. And you know what that's talking about? We have the rest of eternity to sing the praises of God. We're just getting started. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're like Brother Bob and you've been praising the Lord for the last 50 years. He's just getting started. Because if you are in heaven, that's what we're going to be doing for eternity is praising God, singing his praises. The time to repent is now. We may not have tomorrow. I do know this. The time is short. Don't you just sense that the time is short for you either to do business with the Lord or for the Lord's return? If you sense that, listen, then you need to think about what you need to do about it. Today, a warning. Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what's he talking about? He's not talking about yeast. He's not talking about the leaven that goes into bread. What's he talking about? So let's look at the text. Verse 5, 6, and 7. When the disciples reached the other side, you know what's been going on here? What's Jesus been doing? He's been on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's been on the west side. He's been up the coast a little bit to Tyre and Sidon, but mostly he's going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. That's where it's all taking place. So, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. Look, I want to tell you, there is one positive thing that the disciples did here. They did discuss with somebody else what Jesus had said. Come on now. Is it not good to question one another and talk to one another about the things of God? That is one of the graces He gives us. Y'all look at me. He gives us to each other, especially in the home, for a husband and wife and children to talk about spiritual things. Otherwise, they didn't make too many good decisions here in this text. But they did begin to discuss it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." The disciples had gotten into the boat and had forgotten to take bread. And they reasoned among themselves that He was talking about their forgetfulness, that they failed to bring any bread with them. That's not what He was talking about. I can tell you, it may have been a concern now of the disciples that they didn't have any bread, but don't we know that bread was not a concern for our Lord Jesus? What matter of fact, what did He say His bread was? Y'all can answer. To do the will of the Father. They made no provisions for themselves. But I want you to understand this now. Christ is giving them a caution. Are y'all listening? About the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's giving them a warning. Watch out for what they're teaching you. And here's what I'm going to tell you. What they were trying to teach then is the same thing that's being taught today. It's just disguised in different clothing. It's the same exact thing. And He metaphorically used leaven. But oh, are we not slow to learn? They hadn't yet caught on that they ought to be looking, that He's talking about something other than leaven. Proverbs 22:13. Now, I'm going to have a few, you could probably expect it, as pumped up as I am this morning and as much coffee as I've had, that I'm probably going to give you a couple of admonitions this morning, okay? And here's one of them. Proverbs 22:13. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside, or I will be killed in the street." Let me just tell you. When it comes to digging in God's Word and working to understand it, most of us are sluggards. We are too lazy to dig and pray and find out what He's saying. You know what we do? Pick up the phone and Google it. See what somebody else said about it. Don't be sluggards when it comes to spiritual matters, because spiritual matters have to do with your soul. So he told them three things in this scripture. And so I've got we, okay? We're ignorant, unlearned. And you know the fault with that is not your Sunday school teacher. It's not your preacher. Most of us choose to be ignorant. Secondly, we have little faith. Aren't you glad we don't have to have but a little? Come on now, somebody ought to say amen. Because if we had to have a bunch, all of us would be in trouble. And thirdly, we are so forgetful. Come on now. When it comes to your church, what do you say about your church? What have they done lately? Or think about your wife. What's she done for me lately? We are forgetful people. Listen, if we don't pray, which is a grace of God, He's given us the ability to pray. If we don't read the Word, how many different translations you want it in, okay? If we don't regularly attend worship and teachings in the church, we are real forgetful. You know why He gives us those graces? You know why He gives us those things to do? That we'll read the Scripture on a regular basis and not forget what God has done. Often followers of Jesus are not wise to the ways of the world. Matter of fact, the Scripture talks about lost, evil, wicked people are more wise in the ways of the world than we are. And they have no spiritual discernment. So he thought that he was talking to them about having no bread. That he was telling them not, he's telling us, look, don't try to go to the Pharisees and the Sadducees to get food. It makes good sense that we be on guard against real enemies, right? Do you have some people you know that don't like you and you know that they're your enemies? So you kind of walk around them or kind of pay a little attention to them. But there's others who pretend to be your friend that may not be your friends. So what I'm telling you is we ought to be on guard against people that might be false teachers and that they creep into the church. They do. But here he tells us to watch out for people who we might think are do-gooders. Now listen. False teaching, corrupt principles, and practices in this text are compared to leaven, to yeast. Listen. False teaching sours. It swells up and grows. It spreads out. And it goes deep into everything. So you got to be on your guard against it. It's that serious. So the danger was not in their bread or the leaven in the bread. The danger was traditions, principles, philosophies, and doctrine. And the world's full of it today. So look at Colossians 2:8. This ought, matter of fact, you ought to have it memorized. Colossians 2:8. You do have it in your notes, don't you? See to it that no one takes you captive by, what's that word? Philosophy and empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Listen. Y'all just listen to me. If I can't show you, if somebody else can't show you in the Scripture, don't pay any attention. Y'all hear me? Because otherwise, it's just philosophy. Come on now. It's nothing more than somebody else's opinion. Unless you can see it in the Scripture. So, y'all want some modern day leaven? Okay? Here's some modern day leaven. Prosperity gospel. Y'all know what the prosperity gospel is? If you just have enough faith, God will heal you from any disease you got. If you've got just enough faith and will give just a little bit of money, you'll be rich and wealthy. I'm telling you, you go overseas, that is the gospel. Guess where they got it? From America. You know what the Scripture says? In this world, you may not have health and you may not have a lot of money. The Scripture says in John 16:33, he says in this world, you'll have, that's it, trouble. So, prosperity gospel. The second thing I would tell you is hucksters. People who teaches to tickle the ears of the people to appease them. I'm going to tell you, the greatest, listen, don't you want your preacher to please you? You really do. And I don't want you to want. I want you to know this. Your preacher wants to please you. It's probably the nature of most preachers to be a people pleaser. But in the flesh, it's bad because you'll appease people rather than pleasing God. And I'll just tell you, most of the time you don't do both. Want a couple more? The latest philosophy. Listen, you know what's driving people in America today? The latest hot button topic on social media. Now, how do I know that? Because everybody jumps on board and do what they're called, virtual signaling, that I'm on board with that. They jump on backwards just to get on Twitter or whatever else to show everybody that they're up to date with current culture. Philosophy. I got a couple more for you. Quantity. That we need more and more. You know, I looked it up this week. Thomas Aquinas. A thousands guy. I'm not talking about 1300 like John Bunyan. I'm talking about a 1032 guy. That's when he lived, okay? I learned four things that he said every day. And I went back and dug my notes out and got my mind going back thinking about this. So the first one is every day he said, let another's will be done. You know what the second thing? Let me have less today rather than more. Everybody thinks if they had more, come on now, they'd be what? Happy. You know the third thing he said? Today, give up the right to be right, recognized, or important. Tell me the flesh is not all over that. And the last thing, let God's holy will be completely done today. That's what he prayed. Okay, the next one, philosophy, is equality. That we're all supposed to be alike and to have everything the same. Equality. And if everybody had the same amount of property, the same amount of money, the same amount of education, the same amount of this or this or this, it would be utopia. Guess what that is? Philosophy. Let me tell you what else it is. It's vain conceit. Because we just read it this week in chapter 11 of John. What did he say in chapter 11 of John? He said, I tell you, you'll always have who among you? Come on now. Okay. The last one. This is your last 11 for today, okay? Autonomy. I'm an autonomous person. I can self-exist within myself, and I don't need you messing in my business or telling me what to do. Come on now, somebody say amen. Grandkids and an older daughter and a younger son, you're not my boss. Listen, you got a boss. And if you don't acknowledge that boss here and now, you're in trouble for eternity. So I'm just giving you some modern day leaven. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you ain't been on social media any. You don't have a clue what's going on. I'm not on social media either. I can text though, can't I? Y'all tell me I can text. I can't tweet, but I can text. And I know what most of you do, okay? You ignore me. I know that, but that's okay. It's on you. So somebody comes back and tells me, hey, we ought to do this. We ought to do this. It's good. It's kind of like you tell your wife, you know, I think I ought to have a new truck, and 6 months later it's her idea. So I text something out, you don't pay any attention to it, and then you come back 2 or 3 weeks later and say, I think we ought to do this, preacher. I said, let me show you this text where I said that 2 weeks ago. So I know some of you ignore me. That's okay. That's all right. If you're busy, just carry on. Hey, matter of fact, if you don't like the text, just delete it. I won't know it. Just delete it. It won't hurt my feelings. All right, y'all want any more philosophy? Let's go on to the scripture, okay? Verse 8. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith. So he's already called us ignorant. He's already called the disciples ignorant. Now he says, and hey, you're an unbeliever. You have little belief. You have no belief. Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not understand? After me feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, do you not understand you don't have to worry about your food? Huh? And then he said, by the way, if that wasn't enough, I fed 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few small fish. And yet you don't think I can take care of your physical needs? Verse 11. How is it that you fail to understand that I do not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then, thank you, Lord, amen. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And let me just tell you, I want to tell you again. I caution any of you. It just almost every day somebody else caves in to political correctness. Well, there's another leaven, political correctness. Tell me political correctness hasn't gone rampant. I mean, you can't even think the truth anymore. You wouldn't be politically correct even to think the truth. That's how bad we've gotten. So, let me tell you where I was going with that. I would caution you, unless the guy's dead and gone, don't pay much attention to him. Because they yet may show themselves not to be saved. Okay, you with me? I'm talking about teachers. And look, if you're going to listen to a guy still breathing, walking, and talking, you better know how he's living his life. Y'all with me? And if you don't know how he's treating his wife and treating his kids and how he's living his life, you don't need to pay any attention to him. So y'all, what I'm talking about? I'm talking about television evangelists. And I'll just tell you, most television evangelists, are you listening? Not all. Most. I'm not painting with a complete big brush here. Most television evangelists are hucksters. Just look at their net worth if you don't believe me. And guess where the richest are? In the poorest continent. Do you hear me? The richest hucksters are in Africa. Now, we got some. I won't name all of them. Matter of fact, I'll refrain from naming Joel Osteen. But we got them too. So, why are you worrying about bread? So, he scolds them for their unbelief. He says, have I not met your needs in the past? This scripture keeps coming back to you, so I got to tell you. Okay, Romans 15:4. This is why you read the scripture. This is Romans 15:4. Yeah. For whatever was written in the past was written to encourage you that through hope and through endurance that you might have hope. Okay? So we come here to get encouragement. Okay? We come here to be encouraged. So the way that we get to the place that we don't forget and we're not ignorant, we read God's Word. Verse 2, he tells them they're ignorant and slow to learn. He says they're inclined towards forgetfulness. Are we not people to, what did I just say? What have you done for me lately? But how come this always happens? How come we forget the good that's been done, but can't let the bad that's been done go? Wow, huh? Now, aren't you glad that God's going to be different than that? Come on now, somebody say amen. Aren't you glad that when you get to heaven, if you got there through the blood of Christ and trusting in Christ, that all the bad you did is forgotten? And the only thing that's going to be on your account is the good. But I'm not that way, are you? We ought to be quick to forgive and move on. Amen? He is displeased with their concerns over the things of the world. I'm here to tell you. Nobody has. And nobody is going to take a thing of this world with them. The only thing that Adam and Stephanie could hope to take out of this world to heaven with them is their 3 kids. The rest of it, the 3 kids will fight over. Amen? You're not taking it with you. Christ's disciples are often to be blamed for the shallowness of their understanding, the slipperies of their memories. And he's also displeased that they do not understand that in this teaching, in this scripture, Jesus is concerned about the teaching and the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 11 says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Christ teaches by the Spirit of the wisdom in the heart. He teaches by His Spirit and by the Word in the heart. He opens the understanding by the Spirit and the Word to give us revelation of the truth. But Christ did not tell them plainly. Come on now, y'all with me this morning? Sometimes as a Christian, you got to think. Sometimes as a Christian, you got to get on your knees and pray and say, "God, I don't know, what in the world are you talking about?" Sometimes we have to do that. It just doesn't fly in with a little bird. Now, are y'all ready for this? Valuable truths. Y'all remember the lost pearls that they found? Often, real nuggets have got to be dug for. Got to be work to get. But when they became aware that by the leaven the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he meant their doctrine and their way. Let me tell you, false teachers, Pharisees, Sadducees, are corrupt and vicious people. They're as dangerous as cancer. Matter of fact, I would say they're more dangerous than cancer. Somebody tell me about cancer. Is it eternal or temporary? There you go. They are more dangerous than cancer. They were men of position and reputation, which greatly enhanced the danger of infection. Listen, just because they might be a preacher or have a position of authority doesn't mean that they're a true teacher of God's Word. So, in our day and time, what would the dangers be? Well, philosophy, traditions, things such as that. So he plainly spoke to them, "Don't worry about the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So we're going to look at what the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. You should have it in your notes. The works of the law. Works. Earning your way into heaven. Look, that is still a teaching today. Listen closely. All world religions, with the exception of Christianity, all cults, as far as I know, including Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, teach people that you can do enough and earn your way into heaven. You can work your way into heaven. That is still rampant today. That is still the teaching. Now, let me just say this. And there's many Protestant churches throughout the world, okay? There's many Protestant churches in America that also teach that. That faith alone in Christ alone is not enough. Did y'all hear me? It's either faith alone in Christ alone or you're not saved. So that's the first thing, works. Doing enough to gain God's favor. And the second thing, that I told you it was just as relevant today as it was then, the embracing of traditions and philosophy instead of depending upon the sufficiency of the Scripture. Listen, there will never be an issue in time that God's Word doesn't deal with. This is sufficient. You need no other theories. You need no other philosophies to figure out what your problem is. It's right here. The Pharisees were self-righteous legalists. The Sadducees were the philosophy people. They were the skeptics, the philosophers, the rampant unbelievers. They saw Jesus as no more than a political leader. Talking about the Sadducees. Close attention must be given in regard to watching out for false teachers. Just because it's on... Yeah, listen to this. Did you know you can find somebody on the internet? You just have a thought, and if you'll keep looking, you'll find somebody on the internet that will affirm your thinking. Just because somebody on the internet affirmed your thinking don't mean it's the truth. Y'all with me? Come on now. Here's the truth. Here's the truth without error. The Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus. You know why? Because of who he was and what he was doing. They did not discern the times. They had no desire to believe in Jesus. Oh, you think that fits today? Matter of fact, most of America doesn't think you need Jesus. Most of the world thinks you don't need Jesus. Well, you know what? That might make you have warm fuzzies, but it's not the truth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? So I'm going to wrap this up. Jesus charged them with three sins, remember? Ignorance. And why were they ignorant? Don't let this be us. They were ignorant because they made no effort to understand Jesus' teaching nor his mode of teaching. Secondly, they were guilty of unbelief. Now, how do we know they're unbelievers? Well, I'm sorry, let me fix that. How do we know they struggle with unbelief? Because they didn't yet understand he could take care of their physical feeding. They should have known, should they not, that Jesus can meet their physical needs. Forgetfulness. Now, I really learned this week about this. I want you to look at some scripture. Forgetfulness, which is often in scripture, made the mother of unbelief and disobedience. So why are we ignorant? And why do we have unbelief? It's because we forget. We forget who God is. Listen, he is the creator of the universe. Deuteronomy 4:9. Y'all paying attention? Y'all left when I got through with the philosophies and traditions of this world. Okay, so Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you what? Forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. You know, that's why he says when you're at home, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Why do we impress what we believe upon our children? So they won't what? Forget. Drill it in them. Imprint it on the hard drive of their little minds. Deuteronomy 4:23. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. Deuteronomy 25:19. Therefore, when the Lord your God is giving you rest from all your enemies around you, I mean, when you get fat and happy and prosperous, are y'all with me? And I mean, everything is going the right way in your life, you are liable to forget. So listen to what he says. Therefore, when the Lord has given The Lord your God is giving you rest from all your enemies around you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess. You shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. Psalm 78:11. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. So, we need to learn from these things today, amen? That God expects that we should not only see and hear, but we ought to understand, amen? It's not just enough to see and hear. We need to understand. Secondly, he expects us to hear now and in the future. The hearing, the understanding is not just for today, it's for down the road too. We don't get past needing to hear and understand. Number three, that he's pleased when we are... Yes, he is not pleased when we're blind and ignorant. So, y'all with me? Come on now. When you have the ability and have been taught, he holds you responsible for that. And lastly, the former experiences of God's power and goodness ought to strengthen us in our faith. We ought to grow. So I want to tell you how you can combat ignorance, unbelief, or a little faith, and forgetfulness. So this is a one-year Bible. If you don't have one, it ain't nobody's fault except yours. There's no telling how many of these we have in circulation, huh, Russ? No telling how many. Today, in the one-year Bible, we began to read Psalm 119. And we will be in Psalms 119 for a few days. Guess what it's all about? The Word of God. If you want to get over being ignorant, if you want to increase your faith, listen, if you want not to be forgetful all the time, get in the Word. Turn to Psalm 119. I see some of you really brought your one-year Bible. I am so thankful you did that. And if you don't have a one-year Bible, we got them. So don't leave here without one if you want one. And here's what the one-year Bible does for you. It gives you a plan to read through the Bible that, as far as I can discern, is the most successful way to read through the Bible consistently. We have seen, probably literally hundreds read through the one-year Bible that had never been able to because of this. So look at Psalm 119. This is just, so it's broken up into eight verses at a time, okay? And you don't, are y'all with me? It's Psalm 119 if you want to turn to your real Bible. It's May the 23rd reading date. Listen, how many verses are there in Psalm 119? 170? What are 170? Are y'all listening? Only five verses does not mention the Word of God. Do what? Out of the 174 verses, every verse has something to do about the Word of God in some calling in every verse except five. So tell me Psalm 119 is not all about God's Word. Listen to me. If you will get in God's Word, you will not stay ignorant, your faith will grow, and you won't forget what God's doing. You get out of God's Word, and all of that's going to go crazy. Am I right? Psalm 119, blessed are those whose ways is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, His Word. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, His Word, and who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways, God's Word. You have commanded your precepts, God's Word, to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, His Word. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, God's Word. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules, God's Word. I will keep your statutes, God's Word. Do not utterly forsake me. Please, church, do not pass on the graces of God that He's given you to not be ignorant, to have more faith, and to not forget. Those graces are pray, Get in God's Word. Assemble with the believers in the teaching and the preaching of God's Word and worship. And you won't always be accused of these three sins that he accused the disciples of. If you want more clarification, I'd be glad to think and study with you about that. Because I want to read you one verse out of a hymn that talks about forgetfulness. And I'm done when I get through doing that. It's number 18 in the Baptist hymnal, and it's Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's just three in this one. Let me read the verses to you. Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing. Thy grace, streams of mercy, never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. I am bound for the kingdom. Will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Verse 2. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by the good pleasure safely to arrive at home. The third verse. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Here is all of our danger, is to wander from the Lord. Come on now. Wouldn't it be great if we were not prone to wonder? But we are prone to wonder. So we've got to be called back by the graces of God in prayer, scripture reading, worship, and study, not to wonder. Come on now. I'm going to just tell you. Tom got up this morning that wasn't his cow, but there was a calf out in their driveway. You know, little calves and little sheep and little goats, they're prone to wander from the flock, right? And guess what happened to that sheep out in the wilderness, up in the mountains somewhere, the mountains out west? Tell me what's going to happen to that little sheep if he wanders off. The coyotes or the lions or the bears going to get him, right? You are that little sheep spiritually, and you're prone to wander. But God has given you ways not to wander. I want to encourage you to go that way.